Thursday, November 15th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. I am coming to you from the Mile High City. I am right here in Denver, Colorado. And if you are tired of the same old sports talk, if you're sick of the silly arguments, the callers yelling into their phones, just hang out here for a while. You're going to like it a lot better. We talk sports with a dose of common sense. We'd rather just laugh at a lot of the sports world whenever possible. And we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. And how in the world is it that we are already halfway through the month of November? I mean, that is crazy. We are 1 week from Thanksgiving today. This year has just gone by insanely fast, and it feels like these last few months, once football starts, doesn't it just seem like every week is just ticking off faster and faster because we're looking forward to a game, and then the game takes place, and then all of a sudden we're plowing through these months just quicker and quicker. And you know, we're already getting to that silly season. Yes, we are already at that time of year where people are putting up those holiday decorations way too early. We just finished Halloween a couple of weeks ago. Really? You already got to go out and start putting up the blow-ups in your front yard and the lights on your trees and the lights on your house. Everything flashing, beeping, looking like Vegas as I drive through my neighborhood now. And I know, at least here in Colorado, like we're getting some snow. Like I can kind of feel the holidays coming. But not yet. I mean, it just feels really, really early, doesn't it? I understand that the stores do it. They're trying to get you to purchase things. You don't actually have to do it. I'm not putting up that stuff yet. I'm not going out and breaking my neck trying to hang my Christmas decorations yet. I understand I'm going to have to do it in due time. I don't need to do it already. We're just halfway through November. I've got a whole month where I'll trip over the tree and forget that I had to move the furniture in the front room to get through there. I have plenty of time to do those things. I don't need to do it yet. I don't need to have lights hung on my house year-round. I'm not an Italian restaurant. I'll wait for that. Get a little bit closer to December before I start doing that stuff. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe let us know when you like to hang up your Christmas lights. We would love to hear from you. Email us, dailydosports@gmail.com, or reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at @dailydosports. Doesn't have to be holiday-related. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you have a certain subject you would like us to cover. Maybe you need a little advice on a neighbor that is hanging up their Christmas lights too early. Feel free to reach out to us. We would love to help you out whenever we can. Hey, we've got a lot to get to today. We do have a few news stories coming out that I want to discuss. And then we are going to be continuing our NFL mid-season review with our friend Larry and just continue to take a look at how the NFL is shaping up this season. So we've got a number of things to get to today on the Daily Dose. First off, kind of an odd story coming out of the old United Kingdom. Now, I have heard we have some listeners back in the United Kingdom. Maybe they can help us out with this one because I'm not sure that I completely understand it. A British soccer referee has been, yes, we're going to talk soccer, has been suspended for a moment of madness. Wait for it. What in the world did this British referee do? A moment of madness? Did he go crazy? Did he throw something? Did he eject someone for no reason? No, he asked two team captains to play rock, paper, scissors to decide a kickoff. What next? What is this world coming to? Referee David McNamara asked the two sportswomen to take part in the playground game ahead of a women's super league called the WSL match back in October because he didn't have a coin to flip. The incident, which of course goes against the rules of the sports regulatory body, took place back on October 26th at Manchester City's home game against Reading. Manchester City captain Steph Houghton found herself in the bizarre situation alongside visiting captain Christy Pierce. Now, Joanna Stimson, the women's refereeing manager for the league, told the Times newspaper that the mistake was a moment of madness. She said the referee forgot his coin, and in that moment, in a TV game, he was really pushed for time. He should have been more prepared. He should have had a coin. It was disappointing. It's not appropriate. It's very unprofessional. And I'm sure she said it more like this. It's very unprofessional. Now, it's kind of an odd mentality to have, isn't it? And I know that the Brits are, you know, more proper than us, you know, rebellious Yanks over here. But I mean, is flipping a coin really that professional? I mean, here in the States, and maybe this is just us, say you can't decide on something in real life, like, hey, should we go to McDonald's tonight or should we go to Burger King tonight? And you go, I don't care, flip a coin. Like, that's how nonchalant it is. It couldn't be less important. Which would you rather have? Would you rather have beer tonight? Would you rather have some whiskey tonight? I don't care. Flip a coin. Like, we don't care. If we don't care, then we flip a coin. Apparently, that is not the case in British soccer. Apparently, the flipping of the coin over across the pond seems to be sacred. This guy lost his job. He has been suspended for not using the coin toss. Are you really telling me that rock, paper, scissors is any less credible than just flipping a coin? And here's the thing that I guess I keep going back to. If you win the coin toss, what do you win? Like in a game like this, in soccer specifically, but I mean in any of these things, prior to a football game, prior to whatever, what is it you win? It's not like you got like the first pick in the draft. I mean, remember that back in the NBA? Back in like the 60s and 70s, if it came down to a tie, they would have you flip a coin to see which team got the top pick in the draft. There were some big time picks taken because they got heads or tails correctly. That's not what this is. You're not winning anything. The only thing the coin toss determines here, who kicks the ball first? That's it. You don't win anything. It's not like kicking the ball first means you're going to do any better. I would imagine that the teams who win the coin toss probably win about 50% of the games, wouldn't you say? Because then in the second half, you get to kick the ball first. Somehow, over in Great Britain, this is a big thing. This is very unprofessional. No more rock, paper, scissors. Do not ever do that again. And we don't want to hear any duck, duck, goose or red rover, dislocate my shoulder. From now on, you get the coin and you do it by the book. No more of that silliness. Also, we do have one story coming out in the NFL. Jason Pierre-Paul says that he's not hurt that the New York Giants traded him to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last offseason. But he found it a little bit shocking that all he received upon his exit were phone calls from the general manager and a phone call from quarterback Eli Manning. He didn't get anything from ownership that he's aware of. Although a source said that the Giants co-owner John Mara did try to reach out to him the next day, but he never heard back. Here's what Jason Pierre-Paul had to say. I wouldn't say hurt. Just the fact that the only thing I got was a phone call. You know what I'm saying? I didn't speak to no owners or nothing. Obviously, I gave a hard 8 years with the New York Giants and won a Super Bowl there. And the only thing you get is a phone call? I wouldn't say I was hurt, but it was just shocking. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, this is a business league. At the end of the day, we have to do our jobs no matter what team we play for. You're a football player, you're pro, so you've got to do your job to the best of your ability. That's what I've been doing. But he says when the Bucs play the Giants this weekend, he is coming for the Giants. You know, he had 8.5 sacks in his final season with the Giants. Jason Pierre-Paul already has 8 sacks this season. He's playing pretty well down in Tampa, and we know how much the Giants are struggling to protect Eli Manning. Now, the Tampa Bay defense is terrible, so we'll see exactly how that goes, but JPP has played pretty well. Now, I realize that he's got hard feelings, and I get it. I understand it. He might feel hurt. Maybe he was hoping more people would reach out. Maybe he was hoping someone would come, I don't know, see him in person. I don't know what it was. But just to play devil's advocate a little, isn't it possible that the Giants just didn't want to kind of make a faux pas with JPP? You know what I'm saying? Like, isn't it possible they didn't want to send him a bunch of texts?
The fingers you have used to dial are too fat. To obtain a special dialing wand, please mash the keypad with your palm now.
Because then he would kind of feel like he had to mash his phone in response to them. Hey, I'm just saying, it might have been a, We love you. We're going to miss you. And we're going to show that to you by not texting you. Just know the feelings are there, but we don't want to put you in an awkward situation. We know your texting thumbs might not be up to the task. Hey, coming back, we need to continue our NFL midseason review and take a look at how this NFL season is going so far. Which team is going to win that AFC South? Some interesting prospects there. And could we see a surprise in the NFC South? We are going to cover it all when we get back. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, and I hate to bring this up, I really do, but Christmas is coming quickly. I know you don't want to think about that, but it is coming quickly. You might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. November's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Laboratory. Some truths can only be found under a microscope. Countless experiments in the Loot Crate Laboratory have yielded a collection of cutting-edge gear that exists beyond mortality. Are you ready for the next step? Hey, November's Loot Crate theme features items from BioShock, Westworld, and Better Call Saul. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate. You can choose from a huge selection of crates. You can pick a monthly subscription of crates that you can order or skip every single month if you like what they're offering. Or you can just go over to Loot Crate and pick individual items to order. And trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose each and every day. So this week, we of course have been joined by longtime friend of the show, Larry from Centennial. We have been covering the NFL season at the midway point. Now today, we will continue that conversation. We will get to the AFC and NFC South, and we will be moving on to the AFC West. Let's jump back into our conversation with Larry from Centennial right now. Let's move over to the AFC South, which is a division that I am having a hard time figuring out as well. Starting off the season, the Houston Texans are at the back of the pack, but I'm looking at them saying, just let Deshaun Watson settle in. But the funny thing about the Houston Texans when I watched them, and we saw them beat Denver last week, the Houston Texans are the Denver Broncos, but they get to play in the AFC South, which is very, very different. You look at these two teams. Denver's got Von Miller. They've got Bradley Chubb. Of course, the Texans have Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt. They've both got horrible offensive lines. They've both got a decent wide receiver or two. We probably have a little bit better of a running game than they do, but they probably have a little bit better of linebackers and maybe secondary. And the difference is they've got a good young quarterback and we've got a not so good older quarterback. Other than that, they're the same team and they could play in the AFC South.
Yeah, they do. And they've been on the, you know, on the rise over the last few years. And I do think, that Watson's a pretty darn good quarterback.
I like him a lot. I like him a lot. I wish he wouldn't take so many hits. That scares me.
Yeah, it always does. You know, those guys running around there. But
well, they're so young and they're like, I've never been hit before. Yeah. This is different.
Yeah, it is different. But they're, you can't argue with their success. I'll tell you what I don't like about Houston is their coach.
Bill O'Brien has made some interesting choices, and he's kind of a weird guy for sure.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure he's going to prove me wrong, right? Because I think, you know, mentally, I think he's got the goods. He knows what he's doing. But then there's times that you just look at him and you're like, what are you thinking? You know? And I keep going back to when he hired Osweiler to begin with.
Right. And thought it was a good idea.
And he had never met him.
Yes. And
expected things to go
and paid him
a lot of money.
Oh my goodness.
So when that kind of stuff happens, I wonder, hey man, I wonder
right.
if he really is,
might, you know, be a connection missing there.
Yeah, there might be a connection. And I think there's a bit of that here. So while I think talent wise, I think they're, you know, at least good enough.
Yeah.
To, you know, hold their own in that division.
Yes.
We'll see though, because as we'll talk about here in a minute, I don't know that you can discount the Titans.
No.
And I don't think you can actually discount the Colts at this point. They've shown me a little more than I thought they would. So there's going to be a three way, I think, race here at the end of the season. The complete surprise, obviously, is the Jaguars.
Yes, and the Jaguars have got to be one of the biggest disappointments in the league. The one concern I do have for the Texans, going back to them briefly, is that offensive line. That offensive line is bad. It's not going to get better. You can't fix it. That will eventually haunt the Texans. The Jacksonville Jaguars, we knew going into the season Blake Bortles would be bad.
Yeah.
I don't know that we thought he would be this bad. And everyone kind of said, well, yeah, but the Jags defense is so good. No, they were so good last year.
Right. You expected them, just like last year, to make up for a lot of the offensive shortcomings.
Yeah.
And they haven't done it.
No. In fact, they've kind of not been so good.
They have not been good.
At all.
They have not been good.
No, they got lit up on Sunday by the Colts.
Yep.
And while Andrew Luck looks better.
No, he's not totally right.
No, he's still not totally right. And that Indianapolis Colts offense is not a juggernaut by any stretch. They still don't have a ton of weapons.
Right.
They lit the Jaguars up.
Yeah.
That defense has some problems.
Yeah.
That's where these teams kind of get into trouble when they start looking and saying, hey, everything's the same. We're just going to go out and do the same thing we did last year.
It doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work like that. And people don't understand that. You don't just roll things out and it just works again.
Yeah.
All offseason, people said, okay, how are we going to attack them? Oh, okay. When we see them next year, we've got a plan. And you can tell they do. And they're lighting them up.
Yeah. No, no doubt. I mean, it's almost comical, right? That how bad they are.
3-6 now?
Yeah. Compared to what we saw.
Oh, it's crazy.
They were expected to, you know, take the next step. And no one ever, I don't think anybody ever, thought that Blake Bortles was the answer. Like, I don't really, but, you know, much like the Denver Broncos, maybe, the quarterback wasn't going to be that big of detriment. Like,
right.
You had other pieces that could make up for that. They haven't been able to do that.
No.
He is what's holding them back.
Yeah. And they don't have, the running backs have been hurt. Fournette came back this last week, but the running backs have been hurt. The wide receivers are not great, and Bortles has been terrible.
Yeah.
And there's no way to really fix that. The one team kind of lost in this, and you mentioned them a few minutes ago, are those Tennessee Titans, and I don't know what to think of the Titans.
Yeah. I mean, they were my pick a year ago, right?
Yeah.
And they obviously didn't do that. And maybe it had to do with Mariota's injury. He looks like he's healthier this year.
Sure.
I think that's the way, really, they're only, they're winning the games they are. Let's be honest. They're not lighting anything on fire.
They're probably the most boring team in the league.
Yeah. But they're still winning some games.
Yep.
And they're in the hunt there in that division.
The defense is very good.
Yeah.
They're going to run the ball. And they're going to milk clock, and they're going to maybe beat you 6-3, and it's not going to be very pretty to watch, and you're going to wish you had the last 3 hours of your life back, but they keep milking wins.
Well, I can't name a receiver on that team. Maybe proves a little bit of the point, right?
Right. And
we can name some running backs. We can name some guys on defense.
Yeah.
We know who the quarterback is.
Wide receivers, I'm tapped out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go back to the Oilers days if we have to go.
White shoes.
Haywood Jeffries. Because yeah, you're right. They don't have a bunch. They're not gonna, you know, go out and put up a ton of points, but they're not gonna let you get any either.
And it might be one of those teams that have done it the right way, you know.
Maybe
their offensive line is pretty good. Their defensive line is pretty good. If they're spending money in those two areas, then they're, you know, teams generally are gonna be competitive.
So, in this division, in this AFC South, are we forking anyone?
Jaguars.
Let's fork the Jaguars. I'm with you on that.
They're not getting out of this hole.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
I am considering forking those Colts.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, I like what the Colts are doing, but same thing.
Yeah.
You're so far behind for a wild card spot. You're still under 500.
Yeah.
It's going to be really, really tough.
I'll put a fork in them, too.
Okay, let's fork the Colts.
I mean, because we got to get to 16, right?
We got to get to 16, and we still have a few.
And they're not going anywhere.
No, even if they're better than expected, they're not going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So let's go ahead and fork them.
Okay.
We'll leave the Titans and the Texans in it. We'll keep them. Let's move over to what might be the most competitive division in the NFL, and that is the NFC South. And wow, are the New Orleans Saints good.
They are very good.
My biggest concern for the Saints right now is, are you peaking too early?
Yeah.
Because, oh my goodness, they are dominant right now.
What'd they put up on Sunday?
50, another 50 burger.
Yeah.
It's just unreal.
They just keep coming at you.
And the funny part about them is we know Drew Brees is great. We know they don't have a ton of wide receivers, and obviously we can talk about Dez Bryant and that whole thing, but they run the ball.
Yeah.
They run the ball really, really well, and that can hide a lot of things. Hey, their defense doesn't have to be great because you run the ball. And then play action with Drew Brees? That's almost unfair.
Yeah. They could be the best team in the league.
They might be.
Yeah. And
right now.
You know, I'm not going to argue against it.
Sure.
You know, just from what we've seen, all the things that you've said, the fact that their defense is playing better than expected. And maybe that's because their offense is so dominant, but who cares? Doesn't matter.
Right.
Right. They're going to win this division. I believe. I don't know that the Panthers can keep up with them. They can, you know, can they win? Panthers are definitely still going to win. And I think the Panthers are in for a wild card, but I don't see them overtaking.
I don't know how you make up two games.
I don't.
That's a lot of games on a Saints team that's playing really well.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Panthers themselves, I'm, you know, they're starting to show some pretty good signs.
Yeah.
I think they've spent the standard, you know, first half of the season figuring themselves out what they want to do. They seem to have, averted major injuries, you know,
which has always been a problem for them.
Right. Exactly. So I think they're still in it. Given what we saw Sunday, I got to tell you, I'm putting a fork in the Falcons.
See, I was thinking that too. And I was thinking going into Sunday, if they can beat the Browns, maybe they flip that 5-4 as opposed to 4-5. And maybe that second half of the season, they kind of get rolling. Now I'm looking at the Falcons and saying that defense is just too much to overcome.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They should have easily beaten Cleveland. Cleveland's not that good yet. Yes, they were playing at home.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield is kind of figuring things out a little bit,
right.
I think. But Atlanta is supposed to score more points. And I get the defensive part of it, but they're supposed to score more points. And they didn't, obviously. And I don't know that Cleveland's defense is that dominant.
No, they were on Sunday.
But we've seen this from Atlanta before.
Well, can you think of a quarterback other than Matt Ryan, who has had as many weapons year in, year out as he has that does less with them?
Yeah.
Because he always has great wide receivers, not good wide receivers, great wide receivers. He's got great running backs. And you're sitting there going, dude, why don't you win more? Like when Fouts was having all these wide receivers and running backs and he's surrounded, hey, the Chargers are winning some games. Yes, he got him to one Super Bowl. I guess there's that. But I look at Matt Ryan just going, man, it seems like you left a lot on the table.
Yeah, I'm with you to a degree. I don't know that it's Matt Ryan's problem, though. He has had weapons. Other than Julio Jones this year, though, he doesn't have he's got what's his name? Ridley?
Ridley and Tevin Coleman.
Yeah. And they have a running back that's out.
Well, Devonta Freeman being out is huge because he is such a threat.
Yeah.
Every single time he touches
every single time.
Yeah.
I do think it's, you know, a problem kind of on the other side where they're, you know, they have a game plan that they want to utilize, doing a lot of the passes out of the backfield, things like that. Yeah. But they're constantly behind. You know, their defense is not helping them out.
No, it's not at all.
Well, and they've had a, you know, I'd have to take a look at their schedule, but they're playing some tough teams.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if you're going to run up against a team like Cleveland, like on that they did on Sunday, who's maybe playing the best game of their, you know, of the year.
Sure.
You know,
and playing them in Cleveland. Yeah.
Yeah. Then that happens every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, we're going to go out on a limb. We're going to fork the Falcons, and then what to say about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I'm ready to fork the Buccaneers.
Oh yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But what a goofy team that is! want to talk about a team that can look good and look horrible? Forget in the same game on the same play. They are the goofiest, most schizophrenic team that I've seen in a while.
Yeah,
you might as well just stick with Fitzpatrick at this point, right? There's no reason to bring Jameis Winston in, is there?
I don't think so, unless you are trying to, you know, get something for him. But neither one of those guys is going to pull you out of this.
They're a mess. And that defense is so bad.
Yeah, it's nothing about the Buccaneers are good.
No. Tampa is a horrible team, and they have a lot of talent for being a horrible team. They've got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going anywhere.
No, it's not.
So, fork.
Okay. Forking the Buccaneers, and we're going to fork the Atlanta Falcons. Sorry if you're not a fan of that, but we're going to go that way. Let's move over.
Are we on schedule? I think we've gotten two out of every division so far,
right?
Let me
count how many forks we've got. Right now, we've got...
Did we fork the Colts?
We forked the Colts.
Okay.
We did not fork the Dolphins, though, and I'm willing to fork the Dolphins. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We are at 12 right now. We've got two divisions to go.
It's going
to
be easy.
Piece of cake. We're going to get 16 with no problem. Let's move over to a division that is near and dear to our hearts, although it's not this year. We're going to talk about the AFC West right now. The Kansas City Chiefs are still rolling.
Yep.
Still putting up big numbers. Yep. Still looking very impressive.
Yeah.
And those Los Angeles Chargers are going to be there. I don't know if they're going to win it, but they're going to be in it. They're going to compete with the Chiefs in the second half of the season, I think.
Yep, they are. I think they'll get a wild card. So I'm good with the Chiefs and Chargers and sticking a fork in the Broncos and Raiders.
Yep, I am right there with you. The Chiefs just have so many weapons.
They do.
But my concern for them is that defense.
And
that defense is not good. And we have seen them. We keep hearing, no, the defense is getting better. I don't see it. I think that defense is still bad. I think they will give up key plays when is the worst time ever. And the one thing to consider is we know the Chiefs are always good in September, October. We're into November now, and we know how they are in November and December, and it usually does change. I think they could take a slight step back. I don't think they're going to collapse.
Yeah.
I think they're too talented to collapse. But I think they could take a slight step back, especially that defense. And one thing that always worries me, when you have a team, and I love their running game. That is the thing that can save them this year with Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
If you're going to fire the ball all over the place in Arrowhead in December, good luck.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get windy and it's going to get cold.
Yeah. And I think they know that. But I also think that, you know, and Andy Reid's a good coach. So don't get me wrong. But, you know, I think week after week you start to show some patterns. I think people are starting to figure out Kansas City a little bit.
Yeah.
Granted, they have talent all over the place. So if their talent beats your talent, you know, then you don't have a shot.
Then you're done.
But they do a lot of things, you know, that kind of trick you and make you, you know, second guess yourself as a defense.
Sure.
When I think that's becoming a little more clear now.
Right.
I think their offensive, you know, scoring is definitely starting to come down.
Yep.
And then again, like you said, if you get into the playoffs and you have a defensive minded coordinator who can kind of figure you out and your team is diligent about understanding that, you know, don't fall for the trick play or the, you know, the side action over here or there, then they can be figured out. So again, I think it's a talent thing. I think if they have it, if you can match them one for one, then you've got a shot against them.
Well, and the team that I do want to see is I want to see those Los Angeles Chargers, and I want to see when they get fully healthy and they get Joey Bosa back, because I think that's going to be a big difference. All of a sudden, you have a team that plays defense.
Yeah, and I don't understand that Joey Bosa thing at all, I guess. I'm not really sure if he's coming back or not.
Well, they're saying maybe next week.
Yeah.
That's the claim. But
yeah. And he's like, a big part of that.
We've been hearing this for like a month,
though. Right, exactly. And he's a big part of that. But you know, Phillip Rivers is a very good quarterback.
Yeah, and he's got some weapons.
And he knows Melvin what he's
Gordon,
doing.
Tyrell Williams.
Yeah.
Mike Williams. They've got a ton. Keenan Allen. They've got a ton of weapons out there in Los Angeles.
They sure do.
And the defense might be better. I think Los Angeles is a little bit of a sneaky team.
I'm not fully in
on them, but I think they're a sneaky team in that AFC.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those Denver Broncos.
Yeah. They're not good.
No, right? They're not. And I don't know that there is a quick fix for it.
No, there isn't. There never has been. We thought bringing in Keenum this year would give us an elevated quarterback play, and it has.
A little.
But it's not. It can't overcome the holes that we have in the team. And it continues to go back to the offensive line. It just isn't that good.
No.
And while the defense isn't as good as it has been in years, it's still played fairly decent, you know? So I think if I was the boss, you know, all my time and energy would go into the offensive line. I think we had a great draft last year. I think things are looking up in terms of that. But if you can't have what I think is a serviceable quarterback like Keenum be able to have the time that he needs to do things behind the line,
right,
then you're never going to win many games.
Well, and what's crazy is that they've actually run the ball somewhat effectively.
Yes,
and
they have.
It's still not enough to buy him time in passing situations. It's still not enough.
Isn't that crazy?
It is, because you would think play action would really work.
Yeah.
Hey, we're running the ball pretty well. Still doesn't work. That's how bad. They just bum rush that line. And that line looks good on paper, but they're not nearly as good as they even look. They don't look great on paper, but they look better this year.
Yeah.
They're really not. And now you've got, of course, center Matt Paradis out for the season.
Right.
That's obviously going to make them even worse.
Yep.
Hey, we still have a little way to go with our NFL midseason review. Tomorrow, we will be finishing up the AFC and NFC West, and which teams from these divisions can we go ahead and stick a fork in? Plus, who are our picks for the Super Bowl? Now that we are, 8, 9, 10 games into the season, we will get to all of that tomorrow on The Dose. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to The Daily Dose every day. Thank you so much for your feedback, for your questions, for your suggestions. And thank you most of all for sharing the show. You know a friend, a coworker, a relative that needs a new sports show to listen to, make sure you turn them on to The Daily Dose. We would appreciate that so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.